Hi, everyone, and welcome to North Shore Today. It's Monday. I'm Bill Newell, along with Rick Moore. Great to have you with us as we review some of the news headlines from the local newspapers from over the weekend and, of course, today's papers as well. So, Rick, you know, here we are. We've got a beautiful day cooking here on the North Shore. I'm sure a lot of folks, there's, of course, the national tragedy down in Orlando, Florida, with the mass shooting there. Right now, as we speak, I guess the death toll's around 50, but that's certainly the big story nationally, and that's what a lot of folks are talking about and questioning and so on. So that's one story that's going on around the North Shore, and I'm sure that's going to change throughout the day as more information comes in, and unfortunately it sounds like some of those injured folks are seriously injured.
Leonard Campanello, the police chief in Gloucester, sent out on social media yesterday, a press release, and I'm not sure exactly, you know, what social media it was on, but I did see it somewhere. I think I saw it on Facebook, but it was a press release from the police department, and he scolded the politicians. He said, you know, the first things out of their mouths, they jump all over this politically, and he said, shame on them. And he implored the citizens of this area to keep their diligence, to report anything, you know, drop a dime, whatever, and to not panic, but not to make this a political football, and to understand that this stuff has got to stop.
Well, I don't know. You know, I think you got the radical Islamic piece going there. You've got the fact that this guy, I was just listening to something just after we started, Rick, an actuality from somebody. I mean, this is a guy that was acting kind of crazy in the workplace as well. So, you get these factors together. It's kind of like the old risk factor or an asset model factor, that the more you have, the better you're going to be, or the worse off you're going to be, or the more at risk you're going to be. And this guy apparently had a number of those. You could check the boxes a number of times on this guy. From what I'm hearing, and I have not really been following the story all that closely, other than the fact that we're all following it at some level.
I think a difficulty might be, in fact, I just saw, we were out to dinner last night. We don't have a kitchen, so we're out to dinner quite a lot. And the television was playing Fox, and of course Fox News was, you know, they're on the extreme right, MSNBC on the extreme left, and they had Fox on. And it was all about all the conversation centered on the fact that President Obama wouldn't use a certain word description. What is it, Islamic extremists or something like that?
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
And that's what the whole conversation was about. And to me, it's like, wow, God, we got to get a little bit more depth than that to figure this thing out. And I was thinking that this monster who did this had been investigated apparently many times, and there must be some kind of great difficulty with law enforcement agencies walking that line between investigation and personal civil rights. So that must be awfully difficult. And a guy who buys guns legally, he's vetted for a security job and stuff like that. And yet on the other hand, people know that he's a bit of a nutcase. Wow, what a mess.
Yeah, I know. Well, we won't solve this one today. Looking at some of the news stories in our local papers, is a story. You know, we just talk about, you got this and then you got that. Here's a story in the Salem News, front page story in the Salem News by Christian Wade. And this story is about some of the folks that ride horses are upset that they may have to be required by law to wear helmets. Now, I hadn't thought of that. You know, you've got bicyclists wearing helmets. You got motorcyclists wearing helmets. Athletes wearing helmets. Why not horseback riders? Because that's how you do get injured. It only makes sense to me that you'd have a helmet. And I know that I've been around some horseback riding. I say that in very, very limited terms. But you wore a helmet during that time, so it almost seems like it makes sense to me. But whatever. So.
Well, students are required to wear helmets in all the areas of riding schools around here, and that's by the intelligence of the people running the riding schools and the owners of the property and so on. And most riders wear hard hats. I know two people, Bill, one of whom is a former student of mine, who were severely brain damaged by not wearing hard hats, and one of the women was actually just walking the horse out, not riding, not running, not, you know, jumping or anything like that, just walking the horse out after a ride, but she was walking on a road, and something happened, and she fell off and hit her head on the pavement, and without wearing a hard hat. So what do you, I mean, I don't know. I guess it's, people are always upset about government intrusion, and I can understand that, but I would wear a hard hat, and I would wear a hard hat riding a bicycle, for heaven's sakes. And sometimes I feel like wearing one just walking down the street.
Yeah, not a bad idea.
How uncoordinated I am.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, sometimes I think I should be wearing one around the house. Who are we kidding here, you know?
There you go.
I used to, my old house, my very first house, I would go in the basement, and I was 6'3", and I had a beam in my basement that was about 6 foot or 6'1" mm-hmm. or whatever. So inevitably, at some point, wham, I'd be down shooting downstairs, turning the corner, and bang my head. Whatever. So over the years, that does add up, folks. You know. Anyways, back to our news stories. Voters in Marblehead, this is also in the Salem News and an Amanda Astuni story, will be voting tomorrow, Tuesday, on two overrides. These are Prop 2.5 overrides, one to pay for a study for the Gary School and one for a new fire truck. In May, the town meeting voters overwhelmingly agreed to appropriate $750,000 to pay for a feasibility study on the Gary School. The school is an aging building for kindergarten and first grade students, and the town would like to rebuild it or renovate it, commissioning a feasibility study. And so on the ballot, special election question deals with the Gary School budget and questions addressing the fire trucks. The polls open Tuesday at 7 a.m., close at 8 p.m. in Marblehead. I've got another story, Rick. We've talked about this one. And this is that Lynn Ferry. And they do a story on some of the folks that are upset that they're not having the ferry this year because the state is not funding the $700,000. I didn't think they had the boat either. But I don't know what's going on. But the ferry, but anyways, they do have a story on that, which is worth maybe checking out. Thomas Grillo wrote that story. More graduations over the weekend, Rick. Marblehead graduated. Swampscott graduated. Danvers graduated. So a lot of graduations. And Gloucester graduated as well over the weekend, right?
They did. We were out walking the dog yesterday. We could hear the sounds coming over the loudspeaker from Newell Stadium. Must have been interesting at all these graduations with the gales that were blowing in the area. But, yeah, a great day and parties all over the area. A great day locally, and congratulations to all those wonderful kids. So many great kids in the area. And, you know, you and I get to talk and see a lot of them, and it just it makes me feel okay. I think we're in good shape with these kids who are heading out to do bigger and better things. Also, Bill, up in Gloucester, there will be a meeting between apparently NOAA and some fishermen about fish stock assessment, and that ought to be interesting. It will be on June 20, but not sure where it's going to be yet. And, of course, NOAA says the stock is depleted. The fishermen say, well, you should come out and take a look and see what we see. So yet another meeting of the minds, if you will, and we'll see what happens on this one. But this is out on June 20, which is a week from Monday as we speak. And it will involve fishermen and scientists and NOAA.
No one gets along, do they? No one gets along. No one.
Not in that situation, nope.
No, that's a tough one, that's for sure. And, well, I think those are some of the news stories that I'm seeing in the newspaper. And we're winding down. I guess schools have maybe a couple of more weeks left of the classes and then exams at the high school level and so on. So folks are beginning to make their plans for the summer. And so I'd say let's transition over to some sports. Rick, you want to do that?
Sounds like a plan.
All right. So we've got North Shore Sports Night tonight at 7 o'clock here on MSONewsSports.com. And, Rick, there's definitely a buzz around the North Shore. I don't know if you've heard this buzz or not, but the question is whether Tim Kearns is going to return to the program tonight. What have you heard?
I thought it was that damn fly that's in here, but you're right. I have heard the buzz. You know what? It's like a curtain of silence, mystery. I don't know.
Yeah.
Mr. Kearns has been on many different assignments recently. He's been in stealth mode. I'm expecting we're going to have him this evening between 7 and 8. We will talk Danvers baseball, that's for sure, and you've got a big story over the weekend from that.
Yeah, we had the what turned out to be the Norse Championship turns out to be the state semifinal game, because in Division II there is no Central or Western Mass component to it in Massachusetts, just the North-South component. So that means that Danvers will go up against the South champion. And we're hearing it's Wednesday night at 7 o'clock at Fraser Field in Lynn. If that's the case, that's great, having the game there. But over at on Saturday night, they beat Reading 9-4 at LaLasher Park, the home of the Spinners. And they continued on. They've won 15 straight games as Danvers baseball, and they are on a roll. And we do have a post up on that, and I noticed in the Salem News, they have some great photos today in the Salem News, and I bet they have them posted somewhere as well on their site. But anyways, they have a bunch of great photos from that Danvers win on Saturday night. So, yeah, they're ready for maybe a state title, and so I'm sure excitement is building in the Onion Town, right?
Well, you and John Squire had that broadcast. That was awesome, and John brings his expertise to it, and so on. And I'm looking forward to hopefully doing the next game. I can be there as an engineer and listen to you guys. But I mean, it's I just go back to the beginning of the year once again. And Tim Kearns could have put this in a can, and we could have opened it every single spring season when you know, Danvers. Oh, you know, it's a young team. We don't have anything. We don't have any pitching. No, you know, this, no that. And they're not. The coaches are not. They're not blowing smoke, Bill. They're saying, you know, we start fresh every single year. But there is such a tradition in Danvers now, and the kids, boy, I don't know how they do it, but it's just great. What are they, 21-2 or something like that?
Yeah, something like that. I don't have that in front of me.
Yeah, just something looking, like that. But, looking, I mean, it's it's just phenomenal, and they play such good baseball. So, you know, congratulations to them and everybody who's made it this far. And the other thing I was thinking of, the legacy in Reading High School. You know, Frank Perry not there anymore, but the legacy continues.
Well, Frank was at North Reading High School,
North Reading.
Yeah,
right.
North Reading. But you're right; they won. They actually won. That's a story in itself too. They defeated Linfield on Saturday at LaLasher Park in the Division III North title. So they're moving on now. They would have two more games, because I guess in Division III there is the Central and the West component to go up against. But no, I mean, that program hasn't skipped a beat at all there. But yeah. Reading also has a great tradition, as does, you know, what's interesting, Rick, is that the Middlesex League is such a great league for so many sports, whether it be lacrosse, basketball. I mean, it was always a great basketball league and baseball league and so on. But what's interesting is every once in a while, you never know in baseball. It's like a rolling the dice. And, if you have a three dice, you know, three die in your hand, you could strike you know, get fives and sixes or whatever. That's no game, by the way. I'm just doing your statistics, Rick, for you from your math.
Oh, okay.
Class. You know what I'm saying? The odds the odds are you're going to get scrambling, and every number is a random event. I get that. But Wakefield was eliminated by Lynn Classical. Belmont was eliminated by Danvers, and now Reading, Middlesex League, is eliminated by Danvers. And so, and I'm not sure. Middlesex League may have eliminated some. Middlesex League Reading eliminated Marblehead. So. But this Reading team, they're a very impressive team. You know what it might be? They have good, solid pitching, but they may not have like the guy that that really can take you in a state tournament. But this guy was very impressive that we saw. We saw two very good pitchers Saturday night, and one really didn't have enough rest. So that's a problem there, I think. So, you do what you can do at that point of the season. And Danvers had one big inning, and they do it. They do it their way, you know. They make things happen, and they got a few big hits. What am I thinking of? The right fielder there. He delivered a bases clearing triple.
Danny Lynch.
Danny Lynch delivered the big bases loaded triple, and then he ended up scoring from third base. It looked like just moments before that they were going to strand a runner at third base and not get anybody home that inning, but that. That turned around. So, anyways, the big two-out inning for Danvers High School against Reading, and you could tell that Reading was a solid team. They had some batters that they battled back in the last inning, and but they were just too far down, and so a couple of insurance runs that the Falcons got were definitely very much needed. And the thing about their pitcher Andrew Olzak, I mean, he scattered. He gave up like 10 or 11 hits, something like that. And in a seven-inning game, I mean, that's some hits. So he has the ability, uncanny ability, to scatter hits and not get in a lot of trouble. So and he threw a lot of off-speed pitches on Saturday night. But anyways, a great win for Danvers. And, you know, every loss at this point for any team is a tough one. And we also saw that Sunday in a couple of softball games where both St. Mary's and Swampscott lost. And just a quick note on those two games. St. Mary's pitcher, Mia Nowicki, you know, had contracted mono this past week. And so she still was cleared to pitch. But, you know, she had pitched the day before, and the coach took her out for an inning, and that's when Austin Prep scored all their runs. She went back into the game, so she actually pitched very well, but they were a little concerned about her. So they took her out, and then the damage was done. But that was a very tight game and a very good Austin Prep team. So that might not have been one they could have won anyways. Who knows? But then on the other hand, you've got Swampscott, who kind of booted the ball around for an inning or two, and they lost in their semifinal game. Their North title game to Tewksbury. But that's a very good Tewksbury team as well. They're a top-seeded team. So there you go. Those were some of the highlights from sports over the weekend. And good luck to the Marblehead girls lacrosse team. They're playing tonight down at Babson College. We have just lost Rick just for a moment. I think we're going to get him back. We lose him from time to time when I go yapping on and on and on. Then we just kind of – Bill Folks tune out. I get that. But we're hooked up cyberly here for this program, in case you didn't know. So hopefully we are reconnecting to the big guy here, and we'll be continuing on. If not, then we'll wrap up the show. Rick, are you back now?
Yeah, I have a call I've got to attend to, Bill, with our kitchen situation. But I was just going to say that we'll have more of this conversation tonight. I got a lot more to talk about the sports over the weekend, and hopefully you, me, and Tim can discuss this further.
All right, sounds good. And so that'll do it for us on North Shore Today with Rick Moore. I'm Bill Newell. This is North Shore Today on MSO NewsSports.com.